Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for May 10th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call want to say their names so that people listening along can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
Hi, I'm Borja.
Jason.
I'm a very hyper-excited rat.
All right. We're pumped. Okay, so Sean, I think you had a special topic you wanted to bring up before we got started with our auto-generated agenda.
Yes.
Now is the time.
I have a feeling this is mostly going to be stuff that Gordon can answer, but if anybody else wants to chime in, that would be great. So I've been looking at why the debug builds, in particular the builds that use a debug config equals debug version of the Pony runtime, why the CI for that has been regularly timing out. And what I've seen is that, well, in general, a config equals release build where a Pony program that the runner runs takes longer on Windows than it does on, say, Linux x86 glibc, but the config equals debug for the runtime takes vastly longer for the stuff on Windows, and that the timeout is almost assuredly happening because it is so much slower to do those, where like things that are being measured in like high hundreds to low 1,000 milliseconds on Linux take six to 8,000 per program in a lot of cases for each of those runner tests on Windows. And it just takes forever. And the other tests don't seem to be taking very much longer. And I went through, and for as much as I was able to, I made everything in the runtime. I made everything in the runtime that we had control over outside of the CMake level, Gordon, exactly the same between the config equals release and config equals debug in terms of like making anything where the config equals release might have something turned on, like optimization levels or whatever, anything. I made those the same, and the speed thing is still there. So I'm wondering, for the CMake stuff where we do config debug, is there something where it's not obvious from config colon debug in the CMake where it's selecting different libraries that might be slower on Windows, where it might be turning on some Windows features, like where there's additional asserts or something? Do you have any idea why? I tried to normalize it as much as possible, and it's still considerably slower for the Windows debug runtime running Pony programs.
I'll have to double check, but yeah, I think we're running with debug versions of the Windows runtime libraries. I'll have to double check that though.
As compared to?
So that's when we're building the Pony runtime.
Yes. Yeah. And so config equals release. Like the release test, which includes running all of those programs where I don't know if you remember, but for the runner ones, we actually run them twice, where we compile them with dash dash debug and without, right? Because the Pony, for the actual Pony programs. But with config equals release for building Pony C, it generally takes about, when I was doing the testing yesterday, it was generally taking about 14 minutes with the particular configuration that I had for the release stuff for the release test to run through to completion. And you could get timeouts to when I did a bunch of stuff, which made it so that there was no actual where dash dash debug coming from Pony C to those programs was doing nothing. It sped it up so that those things were finishing in 40 minutes, but they're still way slower. And so it has to be something that's happening because of config debug for the runtime, but not for when you do build, right? When you do build and when you do test. But it's not something which is related to something, a feature which is turned on or off in the Pony runtime, because I normalized all those and there was no difference.
I'm not sure what's going on there. I just looked at the CMake list and we're actually using the regular non-debug Windows runtime.
That's the config debug MD, right? That little bit. Yep.
Right.
That's the only thing that I could not remove, because then you get link errors if you don't do that. But everything else in the CMake one as well, including doing it where there's a where it has config debug colon debug. I changed that to config debug colon and debug to be like the others, still the same thing. So it seems like config debug is probably picking up different Windows, some Windows libraries or something underneath, or something which is much slower. But I just don't have the knowledge to know. And so if you could take a look at some point and try and hazard a guess, that would be good. Because yeah, they're just really, 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 really slow right now.
I'll try and take a look at that when I have some free time.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, that's it for that.
All right. Moving on to the auto-generated agenda for today. Let's begin with pull requests in the Pony C repo. We have pull request 4110 entitled Remove Unneeded Debug Gating in FindKernel 32. Sean says Gordon originally added this gating. He stated he believed that it fixed a link error. However, the link error possibility is addressed via CMake and the config debug slash MD as a compilation option. Okay, so Gordon, do you have any thoughts on this?
So I don't see what this has to do with CMake, because this is when Pony C is linking to create a Pony program, whereas the CMake stuff is all for building.
I remove this, and it builds in both. It builds in all modes in CI. Without this in there. And you told me that you believed it was there because otherwise we would get link errors. There is the choice of config debug colon MD colon slash MD in CMake. Removing that causes link errors. Putting this in here for just across the board does not, within CI at least, cause any link errors.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that should be fine then.
Okay. Gordon, do you mind marking it as approved? Or if you're not at a machine where you can do that, I can mark it as approved and just make a comment.
Yeah, I did it.
Cool. All right. Moving on to pull request 4109, fix compilation error with Pony and debug. Looks like this has already been approved by Borja 16 minutes ago.
There's something moderately concerning here. this is not caught in CI because we do not actually build anything or run any CI, or if anybody does any build with our stuff, that actually does Pony underscore end debug, because we have Pony always assert on. So this was not caught. Anything which in theory is supposed to be gated by Pony end debug, there's no guarantee with using our stuff currently for the default that it will actually compile without that on, which is an interesting little bit.
When we do our release builds, do we have Pony always assert on those?
Yes. Huh. It's always on.
Interesting. I would think always. The release builds wouldn't need that or wouldn't want that.
They're always on.
What are your thoughts about removing Pony always assert from the release builds?
I'm imagining that we put it on so that we could catch additional errors, right? I would say that, you know, we probably don't want to have it always on. I think that would be reasonable. I'm not sure how it got turned on. I didn't go looking for that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we removed it from release builds, then at least we would catch a compilation error by the time we got to the release build, which is not the ideal place to catch it, but it's better than after the release goes out.
So that would be, so when we say release builds, just to make sure, we mean config equals release, right?
No, I was talking about the ones that get downloaded by PonyUp.
Oh, well, those are built using config equals release. So you're saying if somebody was to build it from build Pony for themselves, that they would have to do some additional thing to turn off asserts with config equals release, because otherwise it would always be on? Yes?
No, that's not what I was saying. Here's what I kind of thought we were talking about. What I thought was going on from your original comment was that, assertions happen in debug mode, makes sense, right? When config equals debug. For config equals release, I would expect the assertions to not be on unless you had also set Pony always assert as an input for the build process. So you would have to explicitly enable.
Okay, so this would be turning off always assert for config equals release.
That's what I would suggest. And then I would suggest probably keeping it, using the Pony always assert on at least some of our CI builds so that they continue to do those extra checks.
We run config equals release and config equals debug for everything but Windows right now. So I don't think we really need it on the release ones, right? There,
okay.
Because we will get those checks on the debug ones.
Okay. Right. So right. Is there any compelling reason to have Pony always assert on config equals release?
I the only thing that I could say for that is that, well, one, it will be slower for people. okay, that's the downside. And two, it means that we have people who are downloading these releases who are actually reporting things with the failed assertion that happens, rather than, oftentimes if it is an assertion that's triggered, rather than some other weird, bizarre error.
Right. Memory corruption or
sig fault. But I mean, I don't think that's a good reason to ship a thing which is always slow for people.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. If somebody has a program that is failing to compile with some weird memory corruption error, then we isolate it to a minimal reproduction, we run it under a debug build, and we see the assertion.
Yep. I have one follow-on from this. Right now, every single feature is just behind Pony and Debug. I would like in the code base, Joe in particular, if you're okay, this, but other folks who work in the code base a lot, to have things like, say, AST freezing be behind its own define. And as a default, where we would normally turn on Pony and Debug, when it is defined, then these things would not be on. But if Pony and Debug is not defined as how we currently have it, then we would define stuff like we want to have AST freezing on, we want to have well-formed message stuff on, etc. And so that each of these things could be turned on and off. So that if we were ever, say, I don't know, looking for a reason for why things were slow, right? Like I have been, that it would be easy to turn these things individually on and off while trying to locate things. And it would also be easier to understand when there's a particular thing, why it's there. Like I went looking for one particular thing where it's like, how come only when we're in debug, when we send a message, do we do this atomic operation to set next to null, which turns out it's for the message chain validation. But there's things like this in the code base where it's not obvious that this is a thing that exists for this particular debug feature. And I would like to have each of those debug features have its own define so that they could be turned off individually if need be.
Okay, so you're suggesting basically we have finer grained defines for all of those features, but the default behavior is still all of those debug features are on in debug mode and all of them are off in release?
Yep, but then you could go in and
right.
Particularly just right now, not even from the compilation level, but if you're working on the source, you could go in and you could undefine a thing if you want to do some testing without that particular thing.
Makes sense. Yeah, I have no problem with that. It sounds like a good and reasonable thing.
Okay, then I will do that as well, and I will merge this. So yes, as a bit of that, then as part of the always default one, we've been doing Pony always assert the runtime, which we've been shipping with release builds with config release. Is actually, except for a tiny couple little cases, is the debug runtime.
Sad.
All right, I will merge this and the others will be something I can do over time, starting with the always assert.
Okay, so moving on to in the Pony C repo, we have issue 4008. I think this is what you were talking with Gordon about at the start. Is that right? Investigate failing Windows CI debug tests.
Yep.
Okay, so that's already covered.
Yep.
Should I remove the discuss during sync label?
Yep.
Okay. Removed. And now the next ticket in the Pony C repo, soundness bug / compiler crash. This is 3596. Match binding should not be consumable unless the discriminate is ephemeral.
Updated this, Joe.
Yeah. Okay. We just never removed the label last time. Okay. Well, yeah, but there is more to talk about. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I talked to Sylvan about this. Remember last time everybody's like, oh, I'd love to hear what Sylvan said. And he was like, wait, that's wrong. He was like, no, match binding should be like any other. That should be creating an alias for that ISO. Right? And he was like, and I was like, was it like that when you wrote it? He was like, I think so, but I don't know. So at some point, perhaps from the very first beginning, this bug was introduced and it shouldn't be there because, you know, it's wrong with the math. And yeah, that's just a straight up bug that match bindings aren't creating an alias for those. And that would be the first step is to fix that. And then it will probably cause some usability issues, which we would then also need to figure out. But
yeah. I mean, the type system is not set up to handle you having another stable name attached to an ISO. Yep.
And this was this, there was never anything for somebody trying to be clever or anything like that with it. Nope. This was just a bug that was introduced at some point. Assuming it wasn't in there from the beginning, you know, there were three or four changes, which I imagine might've been points when this was introduced that, you know, I can think of. But in the end, I don't think it really matters when it was introduced. It becomes a let's fix it. And then when it creates usability problems, let's figure out the way to fix the usability problems.
Yeah. And one of the ways of fixing them, I would suggest, is probably making the first class as, right? Where you can do type discrimination. You can do a runtime type check on a non-ephemeral ISO without demoting it to ISO aliased. So I think the first class as could be helpful there, but it doesn't cover every case. Like we discussed last week, there's still cases that will become, that there will be both safe and unsafe cases that will be ruled out by this fix.
I would definitely say that the, is my audio working?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, yeah, Zoom stopped giving me the nice little graphic. And I'm paranoid because every single one of these, my audio cuts out or has a problem at the beginning. Anyway, I would probably agree that the use supporting like as is a good first step, because no matter what, if we do apply any rules that make the match blocks work, they're going to be correct for as well. Even if it doesn't cover all the use cases.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as at least is a very easy use case to cover because we don't need to create a name for that intermediate value. And so there's nothing special or, you know, novel about the way we would handle that. Okay. So
I'm leaving a comment for.
Okay.
Right,
so. Sounds good. All right. Moving on to issue ticket 1451 FFI machine code generation ABI issue on ARM. This has had no activity since the last sync. I think we just need to remove the label.
I forgot to do what I said on my comment. So yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah, Borja, so I can give this some time over the weekend to see if this is an issue on the M1. So we can leave this, I guess, discuss during sync label on until you you do that. Does that sound good?
Yeah. I don't think it will be an issue on the M1, but it seemed like some 32-bit related thing, but it's hard to know.
I'm not even sure how to try and reproduce it on, like, I have a 32-bit ARM box sitting here, but I don't know how to reproduce it or try to see if it's still a problem. Because we fixed a lot of ARM problems, you know, but I don't know if we fixed that, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't know what the proper way to even try to fix it is.
Yeah, I need to sit down with this and think about it.
Sorry, I mean, I don't know what the proper way to reproduce it would be. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I know. So,
and if we can't come up with a idea on how to reproduce it, then I think we should close it, because the thing that we can't know whether we can how to fix it, you know, doesn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it like? I mean, there could be something in here where there's an understanding of it, but I don't understand from this how one would know whether it's fixed or not.
So there's no repro anywhere on here. is there? Like nobody's reproduced it since 2016.
I think, yeah, there was a repro on issue 1445, which is where initially this was raised.
I'm still not seeing it on 1445.
I think it's the third comment. I think it's just that small C program. And then below there's a pony equivalent, and it's just comparing the assembly for both.
Okay. So if that pony program from that comment runs correctly on the M1, Sean, have you tried this pony program on your ARM machine?
No, I didn't know there was, I didn't know that I'd find a pony program somewhere over here. So this pony program should run? Is that the idea?
Let's see. It uses str2f.
Yeah. Does it need this string c.underscore unsafe that you mentioned in the second comment, Joe, in order to correctly work? Or?
No.
Well, the pony code already has the sys-string call, so.
Oh, then why is this still open then?
Well, because the actual default implementation of float, like the string on float, it doesn't do the c-string.
Wait, so what? So
in the standard library, the string method for float, it just passes, the other way. The float method for the string implemented for string on the standard library doesn't call a C string, it just calls C pointer.
So the good first issue part here is just that someone needs to change that line from C pointer to C string.
Yeah.
But is that required to get the program to run to completion?
Not for the pony reproduction code, because that's in that ticket.
No, that's just something that it says on the documentation for start off, whatever, how you say it. But I look at least at some implementations, and it doesn't seem like no one is doing any checking it against the null terminator, but since it says on the documentation, it probably should be a good idea to do it anyway.
Okay. All right. So, Sean, are you going to try that on the Raspberry Pi, that little 6-line program?
Yeah, I will.
Cool.
Okay. Let's see. Hold on. Okay.
I'm going to leave a comment on 1445. This is it.
This is what? It's 1445. It's supposed to print. What is it supposed to print?
The number one as a float?
No, I get just the number one as an integer. But
that's probably fine.
Wait, isn't that what it's supposed to do? Because it's passing a zero, right?
Yeah, I think that's the
right.
Yeah, I think that's what's supposed to happen.
So if I pass tag end pointer, right, and two. So if I change that to two instead of zero, then I get then I get an address boundary error. It's supposed to be one, or maybe not. I don't ever use string to float, so yeah, nope. So it just prints the zero. It prints it just prints the one. It doesn't print the whole thing. So I don't know if that's
So the zero, the second argument is supposed to be a pointer. Well, it's like an out pointer.
Oh.
Okay. So if you pass just a number there, it's going to be a problem. Yep. It's basically the out. It's an out pointer that will point to where the end of the floating point value is. So if it like parses a certain amount and then it gets to some other letters or something, it will give you the pointer to where the letters are. If you pass an out pointer there. So you want to leave that as zero, or more properly, like a null pointer. And the reason it prints as an integer, I mean, it's just a, I'm guessing that I haven't looked at it in a while, but I'm guessing that the pony, printing for a floating point, if it has no decimal numbers, that's not going to say 1.0. It's just going to say one if there's nothing after the decimal.
Let me verify that by changing to 1.0.1. Yeah. All right. Okay, yeah, it prints 1.0.1. Yep.
Okay. So cannot reproduce the original bug. And we can close the, not 1445, but the one that spawned from it.
1451.
Yeah. Reproduce. If somebody has a new program that can be reproduced, then we'll look at that type.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much about what it prints, but about the memory representation of it, if you read like the comment that comes after that, it says how that number is being represented in memory, and how C represents it, and how Pony is doing it, and it seems like Pony might be overwritten some bytes, but. So I don't know if it's enough to run the program or actually look at the assembly generated.
Well, the comment after the one that has the program that you can run to reproduce.
Yeah.
The comment says that you get a different, basically you get different bits in the floating point value. You get the wrong bits. And it's and what Benoit said in the comment after that was basically that it was using the wrong register for that platform, which could be related to other weirdness that we have fixed on ARM with
using. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. From this comment, we would expect we would expect it to print the wrong number, and it is printing the correct number.
Hmm.
If those bits are different, it's not going to print. There are in the floating point spec, there are some different bit representations that all end up as infinity, or different bit representations end up as NaN. But for the number 1.0.1, there's only one way to represent that as a float.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the original code doesn't actually say what it was printing.
But the person PD2 notes said that they had different hex bits for the floating points. So we would not see the correct number if we had different hex bits, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
So I think we can dismiss this. And if anybody comes up with a new reproduction, then we can tackle it there. Okay. Let's move on to issue ticket 1118, segmentation fault when actor receives a reference to itself via a class created in a different actor.
We had left the thing on there because you were going to add your write-up for fix, and you haven't done it yet.
I have not done it yet, and I should, and I will, but I have not done it yet. That's right. We'll leave the tag on to nag me, and I will get that done. Improve error message when trying to access tuple member directly on a union of tuples. 1076 is the ticket number. Let's see. And Sean says, note for sync, we've never discussed if we want to change this error message or close the ticket. So let's see. The original post says, following code creates a type foobar that is a union of two similar tuples. So the first one is foo, comma, u size. The other one's bar, comma, u size. It then creates a value that type and attempts to directly access a member of the tuple without first disambiguating the type, producing the following error message. Couldn't find underscore two in foo val. Sorry, can't look up my name on a tuple. Couldn't find underscore two in foo val, comma, u size val. Can't look up by name on a tuple. Couldn't find underscore two in bar val, comma, u size val. This is a little confusing. It makes it look as if there's a bug in the compiler. Perhaps a more specific error message about accessing fields on a union could be provided. Yeah, this is a bad error message. This is weird. because underscore two is the correct way to access a member of a tuple, and it said, but it says can't look up by name on a tuple, so it's like wrongly trying to treat underscore two as if it were a name.
Seems like that would be a bug.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, at least we need to print a better error message. It would be nice if we could actually see it, if we could actually dereference it as u size. The problem is the old tuple of unions versus union of tuples discrepancy, where the compiler in a lot of places would have to know about that equality in order to better account for that. So I don't think it's simple to make this compile. I think it would have to be to fix the tuple of unions versus union of tuples. So I think we have a ticket for that. So 1892 is the ticket. If we wanted to make this example actually compile and run, we need to address we'd get it with ticket 1892. I'm just typing up a comment about this. But in lieu of that, we need to improve this. We need a better error message because this one's just wrong. Okay. It's weird because it's like trying to look up. We need to account for that case somehow in a special way that we're not accounting for it currently. Probably dig into it deeply here.
I think we should close this in lieu of 1892 because the correct thing is to fix 1892.
Okay. I don't think that is likely to get done anytime soon because that's a really far-reaching change.
I agree, but I think it's the correct thing to do. You know,
okay.
So trying to paper over a thing which is should be fixed by the other thing by trying to come up with an error message, which is, you know, I mean, I would be worried that if we manage to get this fix this in one place that based because it is a union of tuples and it's related to that we might very well just be papering over where, oh, look, it happened in this one particular case, but here's another case, et cetera, type thing. It doesn't seem like worth the effort. And it would make we should work towards 1892 at some point.
Okay. I'm okay with that answer. So are you leaving a comment to that, or should I?
Yep, I will.
Okay. And moving on here, actually, before we move on, we have about 17 minutes left here together today. Does anybody have any special topics they'd like to raise while we're here together? Okay, then we'll move on to issue ticket 717, integration tests in Pony CCI to prevent some regressions. This was something I wrote a while ago. We need a system for integration tests in the Pony CCI to prevent regressions that are difficult to test, unit test in process with the Pony test package. It seems like this work has been done. Okay, yeah, I see at the bottom it says, Sean, I've moved 2/3 of the minimal cases over. The last two are more complicated to automate.
Yep, so it's still open. I don't know why I put that, the discuss on sync. We moved like 2/3 of them over. They exist. The others could be, let's see, where are the minimal cases which aren't even run? Oh, there's two of them left. One of them is this would eventually cause a seg fault. I'm not really sure how to simulate eventually.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's fair to say we don't need to automate that test.
Okay. And then the other would be 647 causes uncontrolled memory usage with 4 threads. I don't know how we do a test for uncontrolled memory usage either. I'd say we could probably close this issue and leave those two as ones that, because we don't know how, or we leave this open saying that there's the two that we just don't know how to do at this point.
I say we close it because those are complicated enough that they're, even if we did get a test written for those, it's probably going to be fairly brittle. It's definitely like this right now is net labeled good first issue. So we would definitely remove that. But I think it's worth saying like we've done all the ones that are feasible. And the other two are not feasible. I think that's fair to say. Okay. Let's see here. We've got.
Should I delete the minimal cases directory? I mean, say be in source control.
Including deleting the two that can't be.
Yeah, those two. That's what I mean.
I don't think we should delete the ones that we can't.
Okay. In that case, I'll just close with a comment. With that, and there we go. Okay.
All right. Let's see here. Sean, do you have thoughts about which of these other tickets we should cover here in the last 14 minutes? We have Libre SSL versions on Windows.
Somebody has to do it.
I'll remove the needs discussion during sync from those.
Yeah, we have two of those. I think we can remove the needs discussion during sync from 506 on the Pony tutorial one. That was Dusty trying to write up some stuff about reference capabilities, but a lot for default ones. And a lot of it is stuff that's not really correct, et cetera. He left it as maybe somebody else could take it over. I guess somebody could, and we could leave it open for now, but it certainly needs work before it could be merged. So, oh, wait, the label's gone. Did somebody remove the label?
I just removed it. You said we could remove it, right?
Okay. Oh yes, yes. But I was confused because it changed out from underneath me. So, and I'd say, I guess we could leave it open and somebody could try to pick up the idea behind this. I'm still dubious of the idea. Like, I understand he was working through a lot of understanding. I don't think that one page for all of the stuff that he was trying to do actually makes a lot of sense. And it's actually stuff where it could be, you know, we'd want to spread it out through the various different bits of reference capabilities, because, you know, it starts to pull in stuff that's already in the tutorial and other places, because it really was Dusty trying to get his head around reference capabilities, I think, more than anything else.
Okay.
I don't know. Red, you looked at this. Do you think we should leave this open?
I do. I mean, it may end up as being something more akin to a cheat sheet. I personally would find it really, really useful, because I am
okay. Well, it is wrong in many places. So we're talking about, we'd be leaving it open because somebody would be taking on fixing it then. Or if nobody's going to take on fixing it then, or if nobody takes on fixing it in a while, then we could close it. But it is wrong in many places at the moment.
Okay. I will take a peek at that. Cool. Oh, speaking of, does anyone have the, speaking very, very briefly, does anyone know where the original sources for the Pony syntax cheat sheet are, so some updates could be made to it?
To what?
The Pony cheat sheet, the PDF cheat sheet.
Oh, that's Andy made that.
Andy?
Turley.
Turley, okay. I'll reach out to him.
So that would be his username on GitHub is A Turley, Turley. And I'm gonna guess that somewhere in here, let's look, he's got 81 repos. Yep, and if you search for cheat, there's Pony Cheat Sheet, which was last updated 3 years ago. It says it's a repo to track the Pony Cheat Sheet, and I don't know, like, wow, there only seems to be a license and that, so I don't know where the actual thing comes from, because the repo just is some issues, so I'm not sure where it was being generated from.
It looked like LaTeX, so I will, if I can't find it anywhere else in his repos, I'll drop him a note. Thank you.
Oh, it might have come from no, I really don't know.
All right, so moving on to, let's look at Pony Playground issue ticket 13, add browser-based integration tests. It would be finest if we had a headless browser-based integration test verifying the basic operations the Playground offers. Any pointers on good tools here are very much welcome. Does anybody have any thoughts on this to discuss during sync?
I don't know anything about headless browser integration tests at this point. I know that several years ago that was a nightmare of brittle and fragility. I hope it's improved, and I have no idea what the tooling is that's available.
Yeah. I mean, we have some teams at my company that do this, but I am not very close to those, and I don't have personal experience with a lot of these recently. So I had nothing interesting to add here. I'm just going to remove the discuss during sync label that was automatically added. And anyone who's listening along has thoughts about this, feel free to, or wants to contribute, even better, then feel free to sidle on over to ponylang/pony-playground issue 13 and take a look. Let's see, in the Pony tutorial repo, we have PR 5.11 brought examples up to date with current Pony syntax.
That's been merged.
Merged, all right. 506, add new default reference types
page. That's the one we were just talking about.
Yep. Okay, issue 495 in the Pony tutorial repo. Pony test example code should use no doc.
So yeah, we have to add the annotation support to whatever highlighter we use for the website. Which other, I'm not sure which is it.
So I'll remove the labels from that because so we won't do that for now until we fix whichever highlighter that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is not the which I believe is not the Sublime Pony one, or that's not what we use. We use like highlight.js. Highlight.js is what's used on the website, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. The Sublime Pony repo has an issue ticket 11 for add standard release process. I'm assuming this does not need to discuss during sync label.
No, probably not.
Moved it.
How does one view source in, there in a browser these days? There it is. Highlight. No, is it not highlight? Interesting.
Is it maybe Pigment? But I think it comes from the theme, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. It could. MK Docs material theme. So somewhere on this, it should tell us how it code highlighting, right? Code highlighting, code blocks.
It may not be in the source. If it's pre-generated, it might be using something like Pigments or Rouge that's just generates the HTML.
So it should
you won't see
our,
it in the JavaScript.
It's in our MK Docs YAML. And
it's Pigments.
It says PMY down X dot highlight is an extension we're using. So what's that?
Well, if you look at the requirements.txt in that wrapper, you can see that it depends on Pigments. So that's probably it.
What is the PMY down one though? That's extensions dot highlight. Okay, so that's highlighting. For that, okay. So, in what is Pigments used?
I'm not sure. Like, I think there's. I don't need to check. I don't know what syntax they use for. I think they have their own syntax highlighters.
Yeah, Pigments is like. They have like a Elixir.
Oh, system. We're not using Pigments. Okay. Ours is done using it. So it says, the default is true. No, okay, yeah, we are using Pigments. We'd have to turn it off. Yep, we're using Pigments. Could you comment to that effect on that little sucker there?
Yeah.
And I can add a link to the Elixir itself. It should be fairly straightforward to look at. Do we have support in the Sublime highlighter yet for the annotation?
Yes.
It's a bit rudimentary because there's no good way of doing like the whole annotation support with the limitations of the reject standing that they use, but. There are some basic support.
Pony is listed, but there's no link to anything else. So I guess it's directly in their repo.
It is directly in their repo. Okay. And I just linked, I added a comment to our issue ticket where I linked to where it is in the repo.
Okay.
Woo! How about that? I wonder who wrote that. I bet it was, let me guess. And dun 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 dun. Wow, no, I don't recognize any of the names on this.
It's Benoit, I think.
No, look, he's not. The three names on this are
Somebody... It was Benoit, but Benoit didn't commit. If you look at the history for the file, uh-huh. instead of looking at the icon names next to him, you see that mm-hmm. Benoit committed it without like tying it to his GitHub account. It just had his name in the Git committer name. So
I see.
So it doesn't have his icon because it's not tied to his GitHub account.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other committers are just people fixing up metadata through the updates of pigments.
It's in Python, so I ain't going near it.
Yeah, it's quite old because it still has the Lambda keyword. So yeah, it hasn't been updated in a while.
Yeah. Because anybody who's helped me with Python knows that unless I write lots of Python all the time, that me and Python is a very frustrating experience for me. So I'm not going to go near it.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is you don't actually have to write Python code directly. It's more of a DSL sort of thing where just a list of token types with regular expressions, but yeah, you do have to know the regular expression syntax and that sort of thing. But
so like basically,
Python specific variant of it.
It has no understanding of annotations at all. Is my guess, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Ironically enough, because Benoit is the one who introduced the annotation syntax, and he also wrote this highlighter, but it just happened at two different times.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the kind of thing where probably it would be a good idea to just like look at the Sublime Lexer and compare this one. And in the past I have been able to match the two up like kind of one for one. Mostly. So the core ideas of how it does the lexing is not too different from how Sublime does
it.
So if somebody wanted to update this, they could do it by kind of looking at one of the established updated ones like the Sublime one and just looking at it one for one and trying to make it match all of those changes. Okay.
That's good.
We are at time. Thank you everyone for joining us today. And for those listening along to the recording later, we'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Yeah.